Hear these words from Luke. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?"
When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And that's really what I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes talking to you about, finding faith and the need for faith and what happens when faith is hard to come by. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus makes a promise. He says, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father can be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now that's the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of Mark, he makes a similar promise. It's a little bit different. He starts out, "Have faith in God." And then he says, I like that, whatever it was. And then he says, "Have faith in God." And then he says, "If you have the faith to say to this mountain, 'Be ye gone and be ye cast into the sea,' and do not doubt in your heart, it will be done exactly as you say. So whatever you ask in prayer, believe it and you will receive it. It will be yours." Now, these are two promises. There are other promises about prayer, but these are two. 6 years ago, and I thought about it, and I'd say 6 years is about right. 6 years ago, I made a bold step in my faith journey with God. And what I did was I decided to take on these two promises and make them my own. I decided to own them. I made the deliberate decision that Jesus wants to answer our prayers affirmatively. I made the deliberate decision to believe that there's something good and helpful about prayer. And so I began to trust in this life-giving, mountain-moving power. And I began not to give the devil a foothold into my heart and in my mind. You know how you can get doubts in your mind and in your heart really fast. And I made up my mind I wasn't going to go there. I wasn't going to do that. And I decided that I was going to pray with a new boldness, a new intent, and not doubt that God would deliver. James 5, Jesus' brother, chapter 5, says that the prayers of a righteous person, in the King James, availeth much, are powerful and effective, in the new RSV. I made the decision to pray that way. I faced down my mountains and I commanded them with authority. If somebody had cancer, I prayed boldly that they would be cured and they would be made well. If somebody was in a crisis, I prayed boldly that their crisis would be averted. I prayed that they would find peace and they would find resolution. I prayed that I would find peace and resolution. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning that an amazing thing has happened to me in these last 6 years of praying boldly. Over half of the people that I prayed for did not get what I asked. That took a nasty little turn, didn't it? Over half the people that I prayed for did not get what I asked for. And it was the mountain, not me, that was victorious in the standoff. Have you ever prayed for somebody not to die and they did? I have. Have you ever prayed for help in a situation and walked away from that scratching and searching and wondering what and why? I have. And then you know the kind of faith crisis I experienced, particularly a year ago, but more on that later. And you know why I come to the story with the persistent widow and the unjust judge with a little bit of, not skepticism, not disbelief, but a little bit of bewilderment. Let me look at this story for a minute. In a certain city, there was a judge. That is a guy that presided over and decided over cases. We call those kinds of men and women, we call judges honorable. The honorable Scott Hambright presiding, okay? This guy was not honorable, okay? He had no regard for God and no respect for the people he was called to serve. He allowed position and power to go to his head. I think it says something about a man's character when he dismisses God from the equation and has no love for the people that he serves. I think that either indicates his ego has gotten out of hand or he has served way too long in his position and he needs to think about retiring, or she. But this is this guy. He was not an honorable man. And in that same town, there was a widow who came to the bench day and night and pleaded her case before this judge, saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." Now, Jesus intentionally made the defendant a widow. I believe that with all my heart, because widows were the poorest of the poor in Jesus' time. Widows had no rights. Widows had no social standing. Widows had no extended family, no one to advocate for them, no one to do anything for them. Widows were the poorest of the poor. Now, I don't know how you have prayed for your situation. I don't know what your situation has been. And I don't know exactly what you have prayed for and the intensity. I don't know if you were driving along and gave a flash prayer and said, "Dear God, I need help." Or if you poured your heart and soul and your tears out to God and really let it out there. This woman faced mountains that were equal to mine and far greater than mine. But she came, Jesus said, with persistence. And she came with boldness. And she said, "Deliver me, avenge me." I'm using the King James now. "Avenge me of my adversary." Avenge means vindicate me. It means clear my name, clear my reputation. It means help me with this problem and give me resolution that'll give me peace. I read a very touching Facebook post. It was touching to me because I know the people. You won't. This Facebook post I read last week was from a woman who has a young child. And she began to suspect that this child, this toddler, was not developing as it should. And so she prayed to the great physician, "Avenge me of this adversary." And she prayed to the, or she went to a team of doctors with that prayer, hoping that her fears were unsubstantiated, or if they were substantiated, there was an easy fix. She prayed with great faith. She trusted. Now, you know in the Greek, the word adversary means anti-justice. That's what it means. Anti-justice. And in Jesus' day, the word adversary was a word used for Satan. My adversary is against me. Have you ever prayed for something and felt in your heart the devil himself was looking at you in the face? Thank you for nodding your head. I'm asking a question here, folks. Am I the only one who has felt that the devil is there? Am I the only one who has felt that evil was pursuing me, trying to subvert me. If you've ever felt that way, you probably can identify with a young mother who is going to battle for the benefit of her child. And you can definitely identify with a widow who feels discriminated against and feels like all things are unfairly against her. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone, something to devour." I wouldn't be surprised, but that some of us here today have felt the hungry breath of the adversary. It's a terrible situation to be in. That's why Luke says Jesus told the story that we should always pray and we should never give up. But you know, sometimes with the battle with the adversary is a long one. It's an arduous one. And Jesus is painfully slow with coming with the cavalry. I don't know how you feel about that. All right? Is that not true? He's painfully slow at coming with the cavalry. Time and time again, the judge was non-responsive. Her words fell on deaf ear. But this widow kept coming back with the same request. It's hard to believe when you have been rejected. Isn't that true? It's hard to believe when you feel rejection. And that's why about a year ago, when I prayed for somebody for so long and so confidently and so intently that this person would be well, and it wasn't the way I prayed, I threw up my hands and said, "God, what's the point? What's the point?" I want to stand here today and give my testimony and how I've come out of that and say I think there are two takeaways from the teaching of the persistent widow and the unjust judge. And the first thing that I took away from this is this. We give up to the spirit of discouragement far sooner than we should. We give in to the spirit of discouragement far sooner than we should. Okay, this woman's faith did not come about because the judge answered her prayer. This woman's faith came about because of all the times he didn't answer her prayer. And I've had to get myself and my head really clear on that. The second takeaway is that persistent and faithful prayer takes us, and I want you really listen to this point because it's kind of hard, it is. It takes us deeper in our relationship with Christ so that what is important to us is not the answer to our prayer. What's important to us is the relationship that we have with the one as we're getting about the answer to our prayer. Okay? It takes us profoundly deeper in conversation. It takes us profoundly deeper in experience. It takes us profoundly deeper in resolution, where getting the answer is not nearly as important as the relationship with the one who is leading us through the process of that. Job, this widow, learned a little bit about that when she went time and time again, and the answer was no, 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 no. And over the course of that time, she's developing a rapport with her maker. Job, who just prayed multiple times, multiple months, multiple years, "God, these diseases, God, these boils, God, my family, God, my resources, God, my wealth, my reputation, God, God, God," and came away from that and said, "Though he slays me, I will trust him." Brothers and sisters, that is deep. To reach the point where you could say of God, "Though you slay me, I will trust you." That is relationship. The mother in my story, I don't want to leave her hanging out there. She got a confirmation. It was what she feared. The child has a genetic disorder that will be with that child and this family for the rest of its life. An unanswered prayer? Hey, what's the point? Well, maybe, but not to her. She gave a powerful testimony on Facebook. I'm so glad I had gotten to the point where it says more, and I clicked on it so I could see the whole thing. I am so glad. I want to share that testimony with you. She said, "I was mad at God, very mad at God. But then in my core, I have the faith that God knows best. And God has seen me through many, many a dark valley. I have absolute faith that he knows I love this child fiercely and definitely and profoundly. I have absolute faith that he knows I have remarkably supportive family and a network of friends. I have faith that he knows I am not unacquainted with disabilities and challenges. I know a few things because I've seen a few things. I have faith that he knows I have employees and colleagues who also know about these things and are going to hold me accountable. I have faith. I have faith that he knows my child is uniquely gifted. One in a million. A perfectly fit piece of puzzle to this family we call ours. And I have faith that my child and I are not forgotten. We are loved. And he is there. Jesus said, the thing is, when I come back, will I find faith? What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to tell you my story in a minute. Sometimes you have to go deep and go back to the well of the water of life time and time and time again until you have the faith that Jesus is looking for. You know when Jesus told this story? 1 week before he died. I don't think there was ever a time that was more dark in the life of the disciples than Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. I don't think there was ever a time where the darkness was greater in their life. I don't think there was a mountain to be moved any bigger, any broader, any higher than that little rocky mound that we call Golgotha, where the Jesus cross was affixed. And I don't think there was ever a day where it looked like the adversary had the judge and the jury in his hip pocket more than Good Friday. I don't know, but do you think it's possible that Jesus was sowing seeds 1 week, 1 day before Palm Sunday? Yeah, I think so, Stacy. Do you think it's possible that he was preparing his disciples and giving his disciples something to think about in these 3 days where it seemed like they didn't have a prayer? I'll tell you about me. Though he slay me, I will trust him. And I continue to pray with boldness and with intent. I continue to look at mountains and command them to move. I'm not going to lie to you. I have doubts in my heart, but I don't let them stay there very long. Regardless of how deep he asks me to go or how long he asks me to wait. And you know why? Because when Jesus comes back, I want him to find stubbornly persistent faith in me. And even more than that, when the adversary comes and looks me in the face, I want him to see I'm packing. I've got the shield of faith on my side. And I believe in the promise of Romans 5, I believe it's 8, that the hope that we have, the faith that we have, will not disappoint us, will not cheat me. How about you? Does it cheat you? When Jesus comes, will he find a widow's faith in your heart? I hope so. Lord God, I thank you for this scripture. And I don't know that I got to all the nuggets that are to be mined from there, except that I know sometimes it's very difficult to wait. And if you're a person like me and not used to being rejected, it's a tough lesson. It's a lesson that I don't understand. Now we see in a mirror dimly. One day we'll see face to face. Now we know in part what your will is. But you who see the broader picture, you who have the greater wisdom, you who have the greater knowledge, you who are in control and in charge, and I am not, though I want to be, we want to be. But then we would say, well, look what we did. And it's really about what you did. I have to trust in you. And that trust, that deepening, that walking is faith. Take us where you want us to go and where you want to be. I can already hear some saying they go out the door, but I just can't do that. Well, I know. I didn't think I could do that myself. 6 years ago, it was a real bold step. But Lord, you have been faithful. And I'm still waiting to see, as you promised, the glory of God be revealed. Thank you for speaking to us and speaking to me through a woman who knew better than I did how to get the job done. I pray in your name. Amen.